and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, September 28, 2009. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Frequently, when we hear the word discipline, we think of children and how to train them for future success in life. Far less frequently, we hear the term used in the context of small business management and success. But the truth is that if one is to be effective at leading a business, one must first be effective at leading and disciplining oneself. And therein lies one of the secrets to success that we're going to discuss today with our guest, Tom McKinney, author of the newly released book, Play the Game to Win. Tom McKinney was raised by his mother, a single parent, who was not open to nonsense and used strong-arm tactics to enforce her rules. Wanting to escape from the mother from purgatory, Tom joined the Army only to find that he had actually maybe made his situation worse. By utilizing the lessons he learned, however, Tom's journey provided a life unimaginable as an adolescent and teenager. Learning to play the game of life and winning against what many would describe as unbeatable odds gave him insights, which he now uses to help others change their lives for the better. And we're excited to have him as our guest on our show today. Welcome, Tom.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, Tom, tell us a little bit about your background, and I know there's a lot of military stuff in there, which I really want to get into because I'm really impressed with how that impacted your ability to be successful in life. But bring us a little bit before that and tell us about where you were raised and how Miss Louise, your mom, had an impact on you early on.
Well, I was born in a little town, little coal mining town in West Virginia called Summerlee, and I think we left there when I was about 13 months old and moved to Greenville, South Carolina, where my mother worked as a maid, and this was in the 40s and early 50s, and my mother decided she wanted to chase the dream of the northern street paved with gold, and so in 1954 we moved to New York City. She was pretty much ill-equipped to deal with New York because I think my mother had about a sixth grade education, and the kind of jobs she worked in there were maids and that of a laundress. From 54 when we got there to 59 when I left and went in the Army, we lived in 18 different places just because, you know, paying rent, buying food, utilities were, you know, beyond her, and so we did that, and I went to school, dropped out of school, and went into the military at 17 years old, and so that's just a short version of what my life was.
And your mom, being a single mom, tell me a little bit about what that was like. I mean, I know that it's not really all that unusual, but a lot of people don't really understand the impact of being raised in a single mom home has on a young man such as yourself.
Well, I think the biggest thing was that she had to work all the time to make ends meet, and of course I was a latchkey kid long before I knew what that word meant, and so there was, unlike in Greenville, sort of where there was a neighborhood in New York City, we were the newcomers, and because we moved so much, there was never that establishment. So my mom kind of ruled, you know, and said, here's what you are going to do while I'm not here. Now, all the time, of course, you know, as a young kid, you don't do those things. But I think it was pretty hard on her. And not realizing it, because seeing it from my eyes, it was, here's a mom who doesn't want to do anything for me, a mom who wants me to do all the right things. And, of course, I wasn't thinking about them as being right things. I was just thinking about her, you know, curtailing my fun and so forth.
Well, and you know, a lot of times, I know we hear, you know, we think about just people like President Obama, who was raised by his mom, and of course she had the benefit, I think, of her parents being around to be helpful, which I'm sure made a big difference. But he talks a lot, Tom, about the impact of being raised in a home without his dad, and how he could have used that as an excuse to get out of doing certain things, or having what some would consider a legitimate reason for just not achieving to his full potential. Can you comment on that and what you see in our lives today that can help other people understand how that does not have to impact your life in the long term for the worse?
Well, I think this, first of all, I never knew my father, so you just don't think about it. And I think around me, there were so many other young men like me who did not have their fathers, did not have that male figure. And in my case, there was not even a grandfather. There was none of that. And my uncles were of another ilk, and so they weren't even good role models. And so I think you just sort of look up one day and you say, I've got to get over. And my mother was insistent that you could do anything you wanted. And, of course, it was hard to hear that considering the times, considering how we live, because during that period, I think we lived in about 4 or 5 basement apartments. And so you're seeing that, and it bothered me a lot. But as I got older, I think what I looked at, I said, I'm going to use my father as a role model for being a father. And what I mean by that, I was going to do just the opposite of what he did. I would be there. And so, and from my vantage point, it helped me, I believe, be a better father because I did understand. And later in life, when I started to try and discover things and figure out things like relationships and things like that, and talking to my sons and my daughter about those things, that is when I first, I think, missed having a father. But before that, I didn't. But the other thing is, you just look and you say, I gotta get over, I gotta make it in this world. And so without a dad, I'm not sure that I ever thought about not having a dad, so I couldn't use it as an excuse.
That's an interesting perspective, too, that you were surrounded by it in some respects, so it didn't really seem that unusual to you.
It wasn't unusual at all.
Now, Tom, you know, we're talking about the word excuses today, and I'll just tell a little something on myself. I've been working out recently, trying to get back into a better physical shape, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit because you go into that in your book, and I love that. And, you know, one of the things that seems interesting to me is how difficult it can be sometimes for us, and me included as a small business owner and a mom juggling a bunch of plates and everything, to distinguish between an explanation for not doing something you know you should do and an excuse for not doing something you know you should do. Can you talk a little bit about that, and particularly from the perspective of a small business owner who is, you know, doing just about everything there is to be done in a business all by themselves?
Well, I typically think of it as pain and reward. And when I mean that, you know, if I don't do something, what's the pain, or is there pain that's causing me to go somewhere? I like to think of myself as getting rewards. And so when I come down to excuses, I say there really are no excuses for me not doing what I want to do because I'm looking for a reward. And if I'm looking for a reward, I can't give myself excuses because I can't get to the reward. And so I really don't like to give myself excuses for not doing something. I think it's more important for me to think of what the reward is if I do it, and that's what keeps me motivated toward that end. And you know, you can come up with a dozen excuses, and I think we do it all the time. You know, like you talk about workout, you know, we can come up with an excuse because I'm a mom, I got all these juggles, balls, and so forth and so on. But if the reward is that I'm going to be in better physical shape and that I'm going to have, you know, a better business, then I need to do it. And so I try not to give myself excuses at all. And when I do, I usually immediately say, oh, that's a bunch of garbage, McKinney. You got to do this.
Got to get out there and do it. Now, one of the things you tell the story of in your book is about being falsely arrested for dealing drugs and later finding out that your employer had set you up. And you felt rightly cheated, I suppose, but you didn't accept the victim mentality. Why not? How did you? I can't imagine that happening, knowing that your employer or someone you trusted set you up for something like that.
Well, let me make it clear. I think that in the 60s, that was the time of peace and pot. So I was involved in the marijuana trade. And so let me be clear that I don't. And so, you know, at that time, you could go into theater, for instance, into a movie theater, and you could smell the scent of marijuana. You could go to a concert anywhere. You know, I've had police come into a party and say, is there anything other than marijuana in here? And if there wasn't, they walked out. So from that perspective, I felt like I was being singled out. But I think that I was, in fact, in some ways, guilty here. I looked at it and I found myself incarcerated. And when you get out, the world changes because now you've got to check a box that says that I have been, you know, I've got a record or something like that. But I knew that if I wanted to have the kind of life that I suddenly was dreaming of, I had to just push through it. And I always equate this life with that of like a running back in football. You got to take the ball, and sometimes you get thrown for a loss. You take the ball again, you pick up 2 yards. You take the ball, you get 20. Take the ball, you get a touchdown. But the key there is that you still have to take the ball. And so for me, I found myself in this situation, and I said, what you going to do? And I, believe me, for about 2 or 3 months, I did cry in my beer, and I was mad at the world, and, you know, they did all these things to me. But when I looked at it, I said, you know what? You did it. You gave them the power by being involved here. And so you can either step up to the plate or you can go down this hole. And all of us, I mean, the only way that you're not going to have some issues in your life is that you're dead. So all the time there's something that's going to come up. And you can use that as an excuse not to go on, or you can use it as some strengthener to say, you know what, I'm going to pull through this and I'm going to figure it out. And there's somebody, if you keep doing it, will help you. And so I think it's key to really work hard at pushing yourself no matter what, you know, because some will look at you. I know my mother was very upset with me. You got yourself into that, you get yourself out of it.
Right.
Now, that's a hurting thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that. I remember when I never had the arrest that you talked about, but I got in almost as much trouble when I flunked a class in law school.
Mm-hmm.
I came home and I sort of just was, I knew that I was going to be punished forever, and my parents were educators, so that was just totally inexcusable. My dad looked at me and said, well, I'm really sorry to hear that. What are you going to do about it?
Right.
I remember thinking, I guess this is my problem, isn't it?
So yep.
That's kind of what you're talking about. Is do we all sort of have some moment in our lives when something like that happens, when we realize we've really screwed up and there's no backup, there's no excuse, we have to go out and fix it ourselves?
Yeah, and then sometimes it's not your fault. I mean, so things do happen sometimes when they're not your fault, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you still have to push through it. You still have to go on. And that's where I come back to the reward. What is it that I want my life to be? And so I've got to make sure that I work toward that. Yeah, there are going to be detours. You know, it happens all the time. You know how you're going someplace and you allow yourself 15 minutes because that's the way it always is, and suddenly there's traffic. What you do, you know? And so you have to, I think life is just like that, and you just have to push through it, because at the end of the day, the only way you have sustainable success is that you work hard at it and you push through whatever detours come up.
Right, and when you get in that traffic, it's oh so tempting to blame the traffic when you know you should have just left earlier.
Exactly.
This is great. I love the quote that you just shared with us. You don't always score when you get the ball, but you still have to take the ball, and we're all responsible for that.
Right.
We're talking today with Tom McKinney, author of Play the Game to Win, Success Lessons, courtesy of Miss Louise and Uncle Sam. We're going to come back and talk with him some more about those Uncle Sam experiences and pick his brain for what he learned about discipline that has contributed to his success and in turn can contribute to ours. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here today talking with my guest, Tom McKinney, author of Play the Game to Win, Success Lessons Courtesy of Miss Louise and Uncle Sam. And Miss Louise, of course, is his mom, the single mom who raised him. And Uncle Sam, we all know who that is. One of the quotes in your book, Tom, is this: you cannot plow a field by turning it over in your mind. I really love what that stands for. Tell us how you came to that. What experience did you have that really brought that home for you?
Well, quite often I hear people say, I'm going to do something. I have this great vision of things, and they have these great plans. But great plans without work are nothing. You can have this great vision, but if you don't take action, nothing is going to happen. You can look out at that field and say, I can see corn for miles and miles and miles. But if you never pick up the plow, if you never get on the tractor, all you're going to have is an empty field. And I think the same is true with you if you're in business. You say you want a business of a certain kind, you got to figure out how to get that business done, because otherwise it's not going to happen. And it's sort of like saying, I'm going to pray to God that it gets done. Well, you can pray all you want, but if you don't move your feet, if you don't move your feet while you're praying, you ain't going to get it done.
Yeah.
You got to get it done.
Pray with your feet moving.
Pray with your feet moving.
Now, Tom, let's talk a little bit about how that actually happens. So many people have great business ideas, and they really are great, and then nothing really happens, and you say, you got to pray with your feet moving, you got to get out there and plow that field. Help us understand how we can motivate ourselves to do that in a world, Tom, where there is so much talk about instant gratification. It seems to me it's more challenging today than it might have been when people were used to waiting for things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually think instant gratification has been something that's been around for a long, long time. People want it, if I think of it today, it should be there tomorrow. I think that it's clear you need to think, when you're putting a plan together, what kind of time is going to take you, what resources I'm going to need, so on and so forth. But you got to stop making excuses. A lot of times, for instance, when I said that I worked in the broadcast and cable business for 25 years, and I said, I want to be a motivational speaker. I want to encourage young people to do the best that they could be. Those close to me said, how can you do that? You don't know anything about that business. Well, I say, that's something I want to do. I've got to figure out how to do it, and then I've got to get an action plan and go about doing it. And I think with any business, most of us have probably thought in our lifetimes, if we're 25 years or older, in our lifetimes have thought of ideas that could have made us successful. But we, going back to what we talked about before, excuses, we come up with reasons why it won't work. The economy is bad. They're not doing that. I mean, just, you can come up with any number of things. I think this, when you have an idea, you got to work it, and it's going to take discipline. And you got to know that it's going to take you time to do it, and that's what I mean when I say you can't plow a field by turning it over in your mind. You've got to put some action. You got to put your hands on it and make it work.
Right, and I know you learned a lot about that from your military experiences, right?
Right. Yes.
But tell us a little bit about how that transition was for you. You were in a home with your mom who didn't take any nonsense, and you tried to get away, and you went someplace where you thought there'd be more people taking nonsense.
yeah, I did, because I had been duped by Hollywood, and there was a Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis movie. I think it was Jumpin' Jacks, and Dean was my hero because he, had the girls. He was a boozer. He was a crooner. I can't sing, but I just saw myself as this crooner. And when I saw that, I thought, I'm going to go where a man can be a man. And got into the military and realized that they wanted the same things from me, except that our relationship wasn't based on love.
Yeah.
But the other thing about the military, and I heard a sergeant say during my training, if you don't do these things, it could mean life or death for you. understand the situation. And so just that thought that if I don't learn this stuff really well, if I'm not good at what I do, I could be a casualty. And so that's sort of where it started to sit in for me in terms of looking at the military and doing the things I was supposed to do, and how that translated in life for me was that if I wanted to be successful, if I wanted to have all of these things I wanted to have, and that is this life, and I'm not talking about life versus death, but life, you know, enjoyable, fruitful life, I needed to work. I needed to work hard to make it happen.
Well, Tom, you talked about how when you went into the military, everything that you were doing somehow connected to whether or not you were going to be a casualty.
Mm-hmm.
Let's relate that a little bit to small business ownership, particularly in this economy, because we are in a world right now that is in a significant state of flux, and one of the things that's changing is our ability to rely on other people to secure our financial future.
Mm-hmm.
So in some respect, when I think about my small business and when I work with other small business owners, it's not only about being successful as a small business owner. In some respects, it's being able to provide for yourself as a career, not just, you know, having a business, we hope it works, and we can go get a job if it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think everybody out there who is working at a small business needs to think of or looking forward. Somebody made money today. Somebody got a job today. Somebody signed a contract. So even in this economy, even with this, somebody is making out. And now, why are they making out? They're making out because they keep pushing their ideas. They keep working hard at what they're doing. You know, before maybe I only made 5 calls a day. Now I got to make 10. You know, and so I think that it requires a little more effort, but the game, in a sense, hasn't really changed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was always some reason why your business didn't get to where you wanted, and typically it's because you didn't pay close attention to it. So now you got this added little bit where there is that feeling out there that, oh, my God, everything is bad. I mean, you can hear it anywhere you go. There's not a conversation, I don't care what you're talking about, that somebody doesn't say, especially in this economy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like to go back to, like, the 50s and 60s where they said, you know, it's going to be hard for you as a black man. I mean, and so what's the difference is what I'm saying. What if the economy, the racial attitude, or some other attitude, what's the difference? The difference is whether or not you have the strength to keep pushing through it and figure out, how do I get the ball one more time?
And how did the military kind of help you do that? I mean, you dropped out of high school, you went into the military, got your GED, you had some jobs going on, and then you had a run-in with the law. I mean, you had almost every reason not to pick yourself up and keep going.
The alternative,
yeah.
When you start to look around, let's think about those people who give up.
Mm-hmm.
You see them sitting on park benches. You see them sitting at bars. You see them, you know, their lives are not fulfilled. And so I think for me it was the pain of seeing that, the pain of the thinking about, if I don't do this, that what pain would be, or if I pick myself up, what the reward would be. And I think where the military came in was the military, you had to be prepared on a moment's notice. If an alert came, you had to be ready to go. And I think that's the way you got to be in life. And I think that was the real key for me in the military. And when I talk, you know, those folks who are not familiar with the military, when you're in the military, if the call comes at 2 a.m. in the morning that we're going to move out in 2 hours, you don't have time to pull your stuff together. It needs to be together.
Right.
Your equipment, your everything has to be ready to go, and you got to be ready to pack and go. And I think life is like that. You got to be ready for whatever comes up. And so regardless of this economy, all that, you've got to be ready for alert is what we would call it. You got to be ready to go on a moment's notice. And in business, you've got to be prepared to deal with whatever comes along on a moment's notice.
I was watching 60 Minutes last night, Tom. There was an interview with a general in Afghanistan, and this man gets up at 4, I think it was 4 o'clock every morning, runs at least an hour,
mm-hmm.
and eats one meal a day.
Oof.
Being in Afghanistan, his life is really sort of pared down to, you know, basic necessities and things. But that kind of discipline, I just want to explore that with you. I know you're not in the military anymore, but you bring so much out of that. And, I mean, we read about people who are successful in business, you know, they sleep 3 hours a night. I mean, is it something in your experience that they're born with, or can you sort of discipline yourself to be able to perform in that way?
Well, I don't know about the one, but I believe that people can discipline themselves to do whatever they want to do. Now that one meal a day, I don't know. That I need at least two meals a day.
Well, they didn't say it might have been a really big meal.
I know for me, you know, I get up in the morning and I work out, and that's just the way I am. I think you have to have discipline. If you say, well, let me back up. You put a plan together for what you want your life to be, and you know every aspect of it, how you want it to be. Well, you've got to be disciplined to make that happen. Once again, you can't get it done by praying to God. You got to do it. And so I think that the military helped me with that discipline. I learned. I get up in the morning. I work out. I get myself together. I always had my clothes starched, pressed, shined. And I think you're military. Military brat, we always call them.
Right.
And so you know what that discipline is like. And I think you have to bring the same discipline to your life in order to be successful, because your mind, body, and spirit is what's going to help your business be successful. When you're in a bad emotional place, it's very difficult to work on your business. And so you need to make sure that that's a place. If your body is not right, that's going to affect it. If your mind is not right, that's going to affect your business. And so you need all of those things to be successful in your business. And so taking care of yourself at every level is really important if you want to be successful. And as you say, as a small business, you're doing everything. So you've got to be always on alert. Whatever comes up, I need to be able to take care of it.
Those are some really, really encouraging words. And just tell me this, Tom, how important do you think physical fitness and exercise in the morning hours is to, generally speaking, I know everyone's different, but what are your thoughts on that? Because I know in the military you probably had to get up pretty early every morning and do some physical fitness stuff, although it's probably all day for a military guy, I guess.
I won't equate it to morning. I think that whatever time of day it works for you,
okay,
because of your schedule, whatever it is. But I think that you should be able to find a half an hour every day to do something to help you walk, stretch, do something that is going to help you keep this. Because you got to bear in mind that everything revolves around your body. That is your temple. That is everything you have. You know, because you ever have a toothache or earache or headache, and so your body is real important. When you have those things, it detours you. So I'm saying this. I think you need to take care of your body. I always heard guys say that if I knew I was going to live so long, I would have taken care of myself better. Well, I say this. Take care of yourself in case you do live longer. But the other piece of it is that you can have so much more fun. You can do so much many things when your body allows you to do that. So I think you have to take care of your body. It's your temple. It's the core of everything else.
When you know, when I say I recently started running, and when I think about this, I think about the endurance that it takes to, you know, run 3 or 4 miles, and the endurance that it, well, for me, that takes a lot of endurance, but the endurance to, you know, stay in business. Because
exactly.
The late David Carradine, the actor who passed away not too long ago, I heard him quoted as saying, "There's no such thing as failed actors in Hollywood. There's just people who don't hang around long enough."
Yeah. I think you're right about that endurance. Yeah, you're in this for the long haul, and so you want to be prepared to run the race the long haul.
Really, really good things to really think about and remember, because you know, business is all about winning a marathon. It's not really a race. Good tips from Tom McKinney, author of Play to Win, Success Lessons, courtesy of Miss Louise and Uncle Sam. We're going to come back in our final segment and talk with Tom about the specific steps that he says we should take to accomplish specific goals that we set for ourselves in our business. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to the final segment of today's Indie Business Radio Show. We're here with Tom McKinney, author of Play the Game to Win, Success Lessons, courtesy of Miss Louise and Uncle Sam. And by the way, you can visit Tom's website at winningwithmckinney.com. Lots of information there about him and also information on this fantastic book. And I want you to know this book is a good read. It's a fairly quick read, and there's lots of nuggets of information that you can get out of it in a fairly short period of time and apply to your business immediately, and I highly recommend it. One of my favorite sections in the book is actually in Chapter 1, when Tom talks about creating a game plan for your life. Tom, can we talk a little bit about these six steps and maybe think about, ask our audience and our listeners to think about one thing in their business that they're that they feel challenged to accomplish, and how these steps can be used to help people move from, I really want to do this, to actually being able to do it. Let's look at these one by one. Would that be good?
Sure.
The first thing you say to do is ask yourself this question. What specifically is it that I want to accomplish? What are the results? Tell us a little bit about that analysis.
Well, I think that what you want to do is you want to know where you're going. And so what specifically, and I want to put emphasis on specific. You know, it's not that I want to open a business. What kind of business do you want? What services or products do you want to offer? So that you want to know exactly what it is I want to be. I want to be a professional speaker that speaks 30 times a year to these kinds of audiences. And so I think that whatever it is you want to do, you need to be clear about it. So that's the only way you can chase that dream is be very clear about where you're going.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because when I work with small business owners and I ask that question, what is it that you're trying to do, there is usually a very general response. I want to start a jewelry making business, or I'm really good at doing something in particular, and I sold a few of the products I made, and now I want to start a business doing that. Now, what you're saying is that's just the beginning. That's not specific enough.
That's right. And if I'm going to sell jewelry, who am I going to sell it to? What is going to be, who are going to be my target audience for what I'm doing? So I think you really need to be clear about what it is you're trying to do, because if you're trying to be a generalist, you know, the day of the general store, they are now big box stores. You can't do that as a small business.
Good point. Okay, so once we've established specifically what it is we want to do, well, let me ask you this. This should be written down, right?
Oh, definitely. Thank you for that. Yes, definitely. Because it makes it clear to you. Write it down. If you're going to go somewhere, you pull out a map. A map is in print. And so write it down so you can be real clear about what it is you're doing. And it helps you, pull it all out for yourself as well.
So you be specific about your results, as specific as possible about the results that you want to accomplish.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, the second thing you say is, who and what do I need to accomplish these desired results? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, look, you need help. Anything you do, what resources, that basically what that is what resources do you need? Who, What kind of people do you need to talk to? Do you need to spend more time in the library? Do you need to do more research? You know, what is it I need? Who are they? And so once again, being very specific about who can help me accomplish this goal. And I think too often folks say, well, I don't want to talk to too many people about it because they may steal my idea. Well, I say this. They can't steal your idea. They can go off and maybe try and do something else. But you need to talk to as many people as you can. You need to get, you've got this specific idea. You need to really work it through and get as much help as you can to make it happen. You know, there's SCORE sometimes that you want to go and talk to somebody. The library, on and on and on. Whatever it is, somebody who's already doing that business who is willing to help you. Whatever it is, go find them because you can get help and shortcuts to get to where you want to go. And so I say you want to know what do you need in order to make your dream come true. So what resources are there?
And Tom, when you talk about gathering these resources, particularly for small business owners, where do finances fit in there?
Again, it depends on the type of business that it is. But once again, that's why putting a, you know, when I talk about what is specifically I want to do. So maybe now I need to put together a business plan. So who do I get to help me put together a business plan if I don't have that financial wherewithal? If I need to go to bank and borrow some money, I need help. And that's where places like Entrepreneur Centers, SCORE, and any number of places can help you put that plan together. So I need to go get some money. But nobody is going to give you money if you don't have something real specific. Because if that were the case, you know, we could walk in the bank anytime and say, I got this business idea. I need $500,000. Give it to me. It ain't happening. So you need to have a plan.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
Not trying to get money from a third party, you've got to look at your own finances and your own wherewithal to see what sorts of, because you need some money to start a business.
Mm-hmm. Again, it depends on the type of business that you're starting, how much money you're going to need, and ask yourself, do I have the resources? If not, where can I go get it?
Now, after we've established specifically what our results are, we've looked at what resources we need and what resources we have at hand, what do we do next?
You want to put a timetable on it, because I think it, you know, you hear people say, give me that as soon as possible. Well, as soon as possible, you know, we've made that into immediate, but the truth of the matter, as soon as possible, could be 2011 for me. And so what I'm saying is when you have this plan, tell yourself when you want to get it done. Because if you don't put a timetable on it, it starts to slip on you. And then, for instance, when you're doing this stuff, you've got to know what it is I want to do, by what time, when do I want to have a business plan put together. Because if I'm saying I want to open a business in 6 months, what do I do? So I would say put a timetable on it because that holds your feet to the fire.
It's funny that you said that. ASAP is not a timetable.
Yeah, no.
Well, that, you know, and that's one thing I think that a lot of times people may sometimes shy away from, because that really is where the accountability comes in. When you say it's going to happen by October 30th and you've got that date hanging over your head, that kind of forces you to make sure that you take steps in that direction every day.
That's a great word, accountability, and I think that's what a timetable does for you. It makes you accountable because, you know, first of all, if you're a small business and you put it together yourself, you're the boss.
Yeah.
But the timetable now becomes your chairman of the board, so to speak. I got to get it done by here because my timetable says so.
That's a good analogy. Your timetable becomes your chairman of the board. It's,
yep.
It's the one that's telling you what to do.
Exactly.
That's a powerful motivator. Your chairman of the board can fire you.
Yeah, if you don't get it done, your timetable will destroy you. That's true.
That's right. Okay, so set specific goals, assess your resources, establish a timetable, and then what?
Now, where do I start? What's going to be the first? Because you can't do it all. You've got this end result out here, but now you need, let's break it down into measurable kinds of things. So where do I start? What's the first thing I'm going to do after I get that done? What's next? And so the idea is to put a process together so that it helps you, and that becomes your sort of your checklist for taking me to where I want to go.
Establish a process. Okay, so just to kind of reiterate, you're looking specifically at what you want to accomplish, and it's a big, huge mountain. So you're saying, like, break it down into the base camp.
Exactly. Break it down into pieces. So, you know, where do I start? What do I need to do? You know, it's just like somebody out there says that I want to get a certification in something. Okay, now the first step is figuring out who certifies me. So let me go get that information. Now I need to sign up for that. So it's taking steps.
Well, okay, so, you know, I'm so glad that you said that, and I hope this is helping everyone who's listening, but I have to say it is so totally helping me because my mastermind partners will tell you that I have been doing one particular thing for about 3 months now. And every time we have a meeting, which is every Wednesday, I come and talk about all the things I've done, and that one thing is still, like, haunting me. It's, like, haunting me. So I'm going to put your steps to the test here.
Okay.
I can get it done by next week. But what you're saying is that if we look at the whole big, huge thing, it's essentially never going to happen, number one, because it's too big, but number two, because it's just not organized?
It's not organized. And when it's so big, you can get, I mean, it bogs your mind, and you say, oh, my God, I can't do that. But if you break it down into smaller steps, you can get there. And then you can just see your measurement. You can see it as you go along. Yeah.
I like that. It's really good. Okay, so let's see. What's our number five step then?
I think that you really need to know what the reward is. What's the benefit? If I do this, what is in it for me? And the reason I think that's important is that if anybody who has done a business, anybody who's learned a new sport, anybody knows how tough it can be. And sometimes it can be discouraging. But if I know that if I keep pushing along here and I make this happen, there's a reward for me. So what is the benefit of me doing that? And so that's part of that emotional thing that you have in your head that keeps me pushing, because you're going to run into the detours. You're going to run into the roadblocks. But I know if I keep going, the benefit for me is going to be that I have a business that is a sustainable business that I just need to push my way through it. And so it's understanding that from an emotional standpoint of what are the benefits of this for me.
Now, you know, Tom, this is something that you know a lot about, because when I read your book, I read with great interest and inspiration. I was so inspired by you, but you were a young man with having been arrested, and your wife, you were newly married or fairly newly married, and your wife was pregnant at the time, and you were in jail.
Well, we actually got married after that. We got married after that.
What I'm really trying to get at here is that you aren't just saying all this because you read it in a book. I mean, you really had to pull yourself out of there and keep your eye on the prize, so to speak, in order to get yourself forward out of that situation. You've been married for 40 years now, and you have beautiful grown children with your wife, so you really have lived this.
Well, I think that's what has to keep everybody moving. What is it I want? What's in this for me? And yeah, I just ran into this wall, and it took me for a loop, and all human beings are going to, you know, cry a minute, you do all of that, but then what you going to do? And I think that knowing what the benefit of what I'm going to do is going to help me make it through. I know, for instance, I always knew I wanted to work in an office. I had to drive a cab. I bussed tables. I did all of that stuff. That was painful for me. But I said, just keep pushing through, because I got to pay the rent. I got to do that, because I know if I keep pushing through, one day I'll be able to put the suit back on. One day I will be able to wear my tie and do all of those things that I want to do. One day I can go to Paris. One day I can do this. And so I think that's whatever it is you want to do that's going to give you that reward, that joy, you have to use that to keep you motivated.
And, you know, just to stay on this point for another moment, you talked earlier about how important it was to be prepared, even though you don't always know what you're preparing for. Your book shares how when you were in Korea, you were able to get your suits inexpensively tailored for a very small sum of American money. You didn't need them over there, right? But what happened when you came back here?
Well, again, when I went to work, I went to work very sharp. I looked like I belonged in office because I had all these beautiful suits. I also learned that was part of my issue with the drug thing, is because I was so clean, and so they thought I was making this huge sum of money selling drugs. But I think, again,
for a real brief period of time, because a lot of times as small business owners, we're very connected today. We're connected on the internet. And, you know, there are sometimes there are situations where we reach a certain level of success. I've talked with people who have sort of felt this way. They've been successful. Their businesses started, you know, in a kitchen somewhere. And one of the things they have to contend with, Tom, is what you just talked about, which is, you know, sometimes not everybody's real happy to see that. How can you suggest? I mean, you got arrested for being suave and cool and debonair. So what could be worse than that? How can you? What frame of mind do you need to have to continue forward when not everybody's cheering you on?
Well, I think this, and nobody, everybody is not going to like you. That's an impossibility for any number of reasons. But if you know in your heart you're doing the right thing, that your intent is not to ever hurt anybody, that what you're trying to do is do something good for you and your family, and you're willing to help people around you, that should be enough to keep you motivated to move forward, knowing that you are not going to be able to make everybody happy. That is just an impossibility, because somebody doesn't like you because you're tall. Somebody doesn't like you because you went to whatever school you went to. There's always something, and knowing that, you just have to keep pushing. You cannot please everybody. It is not going to, it's just impossible. So you have to have the strength and knowing that you are doing the right thing and that your heart is in the right place. And I really want to emphasize that piece about having your heart in the right place, doing things that are honest and above board with the right intent, not wanting to harm anybody. Long as you know that, I don't worry about the rest of it.
Good point, good point. And finally, we've got tracking your progress and measurement. Share that with us.
Well, again, here is, you know, what is going back to when we talked about the timetable. Once you make something happen and that says, okay, I am on the right track, and that's why when you broke it down into these pieces here, that process, now you know when you got that first piece done, that's a measurement that says that should encourage you to keep going. And so that's all that is just a way of making sure I'm on the right track. I accomplished that. Now I move on to the next one. And so measurement is a good way of keeping you on track.
So, and this is really important, too, and anyone can do this, right? Once you set out your timetable and your process, then that is also tracking what you want your measurement, your milestones, so to speak, to be, right?
I believe that this is something, if you're doing a household project, you can use the same formula. You know, if you want to redo the kitchen, you know what you want to do. You want to do a business. It's the same thing. It's just all you're doing is organizing yourself in a way. What is the results I want? Where am I trying to get to? What do I need to get it done? When do I want to get it done? Now, what's the process for going through it? What's the benefits? In the case of redoing the kitchen, I can walk into this beautiful kitchen now. It's going to be easier for me to cook in here. And measurement, did I get all the tools at the right time? Did I get the lumber, da-da-da-da-da-da, so on and so forth. I think you can use, regardless of what you're doing, this is a formula that I think you can use.
And I agree with you. I think it's a very simple, very basic formula. Anyone can follow this. And, you know, it's especially valuable, I think, Tom, because it's not something that comes from other things that you've read or what other people told you, but you've really lived this, and that, in my mind, gives it an additional level of credibility. So we thank you so much for sharing from your experiences, and I have a good friend who says, let your misery be your ministry, and sort of let the difficult things in your life prepare you and empower you to help others, and you've had some challenging circumstances, and you're using them to help a lot of people, and we really appreciate that. So thank you for being here to share with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And Tom, let's see, your website address again and what we can find there, where can we go to hear you speak and things like that?
My primary website is tommckinney.com. And then the book, of course, is at winningwithmckinney.com. And the book is available online at amazon.com, barnesandnoble, exlibris.com. I am in the process now of I don't have any immediate speaking engagements here that I can talk about that I'm going to, not at this moment. What I do every Monday, though, is I speak with felons at the Charlotte-Mecklenburg County Jail. So I go there every Monday and talk to two groups of felons because I know what that experience is like.
Good for you, paying it forward. So visit Tom's website, TomMcKinney.com, and also check out WinningWithMcKinney.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you everyone listening and also everyone in the chat room. It's exciting to have you here. Next Monday, October the 5th, we've got Mike McAllowitz, author of The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur. He joins us to share his best tips for cleaning up in business, even if all you have is, well, toilet paper. And sometimes as a small business owner, you know, that's just about all you have. But Tom's given us some great tips today for turning that toilet paper into something better than that. And next week we're going to follow that up with Mike McAllowitz's tips as well. The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur will join us. I'm so excited that you joined me today. I'll see you next week for another edition of Indie Business Radio. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.